Love the lyrics of that song. It is truly powerful stuff. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Aaron, and I am the middle school pastor here. And when I was 5 years old, I called 911. Not because there was any emergency or anything like that. In fact, my dad and uncle were just outside the house, which is why I had unadulterated access to the home phone, and they had no idea that I was doing this, but I just wanted to see what would happen if you called 911, because I'd only seen it in the movies, and they answered, if you'd believe that, and they answered, 911, what's your emergency? And since I had no emergency and the brain of a five-year-old, I hung up, and they called back, so I didn't answer, and then they called back again. And so I answered and hung up. And then they called back again, and I started to panic because my dad and uncle were starting to come in, and 911 is calling our house repeatedly. And so I did the only thing that I could think of to do. I threw the phone out the window, and I buried it under some leaves in hopes that my dad wouldn't hear the phone ringing. But I'd forgotten we had another home phone in his bedroom. So I was caught, and I got in trouble, and I learned my lesson to not call 911 unless it's an emergency. But the story got me thinking. Even though I was only 5 years old, it was memorable to me, and it stuck out to me, partially because to my five-year-old brain, there was like trauma involved in that. That was traumatic to me as a five-year-old. And so it got me thinking a couple questions. And so these questions are going to be the basis of what we're going to talk about today. And there's these three questions. Number one is, how are memories formed? Number two is, what makes something memorable? And what I mean by that is, like, how does something stay long-lasting in our memory? And number three, is there a way to improve or use our memory to be more like Jesus? The Cambridge Dictionary defines the word memory as the ability to remember information, experiences, and people. And then it defines the word remember as to recall a piece of information from your mind. And the Bible has over 550 references of the word, or some variation of the word, remember in it. A few examples being, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if God's word says something over 500 times, then it's probably important. And if it's important, how do we do it? Which leads us to question one. How are memories formed? Well, I did research on this, and according to like really smart people who study the, you know, brain and stuff, neurologists, and Harvard, it's a bunch of words that are really it makes you very, I started going cross-eyed when I started reading it, because they use all these big words, you know, doctor talk. And so I decided to kind of make it a little more easy to understand. So for everyone who's not a doctor, this is the answer to the question, how are memories formed? It is a dual process known as System 1 and System 2. Now, I didn't make up any of this information. This is the doctors who created this stuff. System 1 is really routine stuff. So think of muscle memory type of stuff that you just can do normally. So like brushing your teeth and bathing, you know, really normal stuff because you've done it for a long time. System 2 is more critical thinking and needs like intense action, okay? So like trying to figure out what your wife wants to eat for anything, really. You know, truly difficult stuff. So what scientists have learned is that System 1 is mostly used by adults because you've already learned the stuff, and so it's routine. And System 2 was used mostly when you were younger, because when you were younger, everything was new, and so you were needing to learn everything for the first time. And so I want you to try to think, raise your hand if you can remember the first time you drove a car or rode a bike. Can you remember that? Raise your hand if you can remember the first time you drove a car or rode a bike. I feel like we got some liars in the room. Really? Like, you guys can't remember the first time? It is, so that System 2 is learning through critical action, because you were doing that for the very first time. You were not used to driving a car, and so hopefully you were aware of every movement you made. And if you weren't aware of it, your parents probably made you aware of it in the most critical way possible. And so it stuck out to you. And so those instances or those memories are memorable because you learn them through critical thinking. This is why after you get done doing it so many times, when you get done driving your car and you've learned how to drive a car, this is why when you do it so many times, it becomes like second nature to you. So by a show of hands, how many of you have ever been driving and you're kind of like, how did I even get here? Because you're like, your brain has been operating. See, a lot more of you did that than remembered the other thing. But this is because when you do something so many times like this, like driving, your brain, it just becomes natural. It just becomes like muscle memory. And so it's still a little freaky, but it happens. And it's because your brain is like, I got this. You don't have to be like critically thinking about what you're doing. And so it's your brain kind of operating on autopilot. So system one is fast. It's unconscious. It's like automatic because you've already learned it. And system two is requiring slow and conscious thought and effort because you're trying to learn something. Now, I did not create this list. I would have said that the first one would be system, that system two would be system one named just because that makes sense to learn something and then it's learned. But I'm not a doctor, so I didn't come up with this. Anyways, so that is the question two, or that is the answer to question, how are memories formed? It's systems one and two. But what about when you're already an adult? Because most of us in here are already an adult. What makes something memorable? How do memories stay? And how are we able to retain these memories? But before I can answer this question, I have to clarify that there are two obviously different versions of memory. There's short-term memory and there's long-term memory. And the short-term memory that we're talking about today only lasts about 15 to 30 seconds. And the reason it only lasts that amount of time is most of the time, most of the information that we forget or that our brain intentionally kind of deletes from our minds is because the information is only heard one time. And I'm saying heard one time. So examples. Raise your hand if you've ever met someone for the very first time, they introduce themselves to you, and before the end of the conversation is done, you don't even remember what their name is. Okay, so most of us in here have also had that happen to them. But there's a scientific reason behind that, because your brain is hearing their name only once, and your brain is saying, I've literally never met this person in my life. I probably don't need to know this information. Let's just get rid of that. And so they delete that information. You delete that information from your own brain. But your brain will most likely keep an image of the person's face. This is why you're far more likely to remember a person's face than you are their name. So if you struggle with it, which I do, if you struggle with people's names, then just know there's a scientific reason behind it, right? We're not a bunch of dummies. We just, you know, it's just scientific, okay? So, most likely, you'll remember a person's face over their name because it's only heard one time. That's because most of the information that you hear only one time, you are likely to forget. And that's important. In fact, it's so important that we're going to come back to it to answer question three. But we're still in question two, which is, what makes something memorable? So, we know how short-term memory works. But what about long-term? How does something move from short-term memory to long-term memory? Well, something is moved from short-term to long-term by five different things. So there is firsts, trauma, repetition, love, and the unknown. Firsts are really simple. Raise your hand if you can remember your first kiss. If you've had one, so obviously. Okay. I saw some middle school boys raising their hands over there. And I'm not making that up. I just saw that. So you watch it. Anyway, firsts, like things like your first kiss, they can be exciting or gross if you're, it's your first time kissing people. So it can be something first just, they stand out. It's because it's the first time that you did this specific thing. They don't have to be good. They don't have to be bad. They just got to be first.
If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use it as a tradition, Ricky Bobby Inc.
Yeah, thank you, Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. So firsts will make something memorable. First can make something memorable just by being first. Trauma will almost always make something memorable because it is traumatic. It's not normal. It's not a usual thing that you experience every day. And since that it's different, it sticks out in your brain and it stays with you for a long period of time. The story of me calling 911, it was traumatic to me, as even though I was only 5 years old. So it has stuck with me. Pastor Ken, I'm going to just cut him off so he doesn't say this at the end of service. He referred to this at the end of first service. But when I had just moved here, I didn't know, I was young, and so you guys will maybe learn something from this. I didn't know that when you write a check, you're supposed to make your little initials at the bottom. And so I didn't know you're supposed to sign it. I thought that you only sign a check when you get a check, and you sign it at the top on the back, and you're supposed to sign it. So I sent off my money to to the taxes, and they sent it back, and they're like, we can't use this, you gotta sign it. Didn't know what that was. And they got a big laugh out of it. So I'm gonna make it to where, you know, you can laugh because I said it about myself. Anyway, trauma will almost always make something memorable. Repetition is huge. In fact, it's so big, we're gonna continue talking about it in question three. But examples of repetition would include songs that you have heard many times, you memorize them through repetition. Movies, when you really like a movie and you could quote movies or TV shows, it's because you've watched them many times. Poetry, smells, you can really like a smell and it's you smell it so many times. Rhymes, and even commercials. Something's freaking out. This is not a part of the plan.
Whopper, 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 Junior, Double, Triple, Whopper, Flame Grill taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day. Lettuce, mayo,
right, that's good enough. All right, even if you can't stand commercials, you know them. Because they've gone over in your head over and over again and over and over again. Even if you can't stand it, things that you hear and you read and you smell and you even think about will make it memorable. It will move it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. And can you see the connection there to what you could do reading the Bible and how that can connect to staying with you for a long time? But repetition can be stored, but also can be partially forgotten, which we'll talk more about in question number three. But repetition is something that can make it memorable. Love, there's something about love that makes things long-lasting. It has a long-lasting effect on people. So something that could be considered otherwise boring, when you add love in, if it's done for the love of someone else or with someone that you love, it can make it memorable. And so love has long-lasting effects on our memory. And lastly, the unknown. So God has made us all so complex and different and unique, and our brains are very complicated. And so everybody is going to be a little different. And so some people have won, as others would say, the genetic lottery. And so some people are just better at remembering things than other people. Example, my dad is fantastic with names, and I am awful with names. But he's just been gifted with an ability to remember people's names. And so the unknown is the last thing, the last answer to our question, how or what makes something memorable. So the answer to the question is firsts, trauma, repetition, love, and the unknown. So now that we know how memories are formed and then what makes something memorable, we can answer question number three, which is there a way to improve or use our memory to be more like Jesus? And the answer is yes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23 says, pay attention to what I say, Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Don't stop thinking about them. These words are the secret of life and health to all who find them. In other words, our actions are required for us to remember what the Bible says, what God has said, what Jesus has said. It's not going to happen. We're not going to remember what he said if we don't look at what he has said. If you don't read it, you're not going to remember it. There are no shortcuts to following Jesus. And in fact, memory is only a third, by my estimates, a third of what it means to be a Christian, or what it takes to be a Christian. The first and most important part about being a Christian is believing in Jesus, being saved by the grace of Jesus, and then putting to memory what he has said, and then doing it. And as a Christian, we should try to be as much like Jesus as possible as often as we can. That should be our goal. And not just in the way that we look. I've been told that my hair is getting longer, but it's not for the looking like Jesus part. But it's in what we do. It is what we do that is supposed to be representative of Jesus. And so James says, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. So if we remember, critical thinking and repeated actions are required for us to remember something, and it's the same thing for us to be more like Jesus. We have to critically think about what we're reading and then do what we read. And the word remember is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, so it's important. And in fact, this is why remembering what God has said is so important. Because if we choose not to remember, if we choose not to critically think about what God has said and done, then when trouble comes, which it will come, it's a biblical thing, it's problems are going to happen. But when trouble comes, if we have not thought and read about the things that God has said and done, we will have no foundation to stand on, and we'll be left feeling crushed and hopeless. So when problems happen, if we don't know about the goodness and the faithfulness of God, then it's going to leave us feeling lost, and that's not what God wants for us at all. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, everyone who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, on a strong foundation. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been built on the rock. And everyone who hears these words and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So God wants us to not only remember what he said, but do what he said. So the answer to the question, is there a way to improve or use our memory to be more like Jesus, is yes, but it's too long to put in one sentence. So instead, I'm going to give you guys a few scientifically proven ways to improve our memory, and then I'm going to accommodate it with some faith-based stuff, some faith-based action steps. Again, everything that I'm saying involves system two. So it involves consciously thinking about it and then repeated actions. So if you're taking notes, this is the part that you want to take notes for. If you're not taking notes, you should be taking notes, not because I'm saying you should be taking notes, but because if you remember, most of the information that you only hear one time, you're gonna forget. So if you take notes, helps you to remember. So if you don't have a piece of paper, you can even use your cell phone. But anyway, your brain treats the information that you hear only one time as worthless. If you don't act on it, it treats it as worthless. Example, you can probably only remember a handful of messages that a pastor has ever preached. And to be honest, it's a little offensive. But truthfully, if there are no consequences, if there are no immediate consequences and you don't do anything differently when you hear what's said, then you're going to forget what you heard. And take pastors out of it. The same is true for the Bible. If there are no immediate consequences and you don't do anything differently when you read the Bible, then you're going to forget what you read. Unless there's repetition, because there's power in repetition. And so, again, though, you can partially forget something that you have learned through repetition. So, anyone want to sing it? Yeah. Okay. So, how many of you guys know that? That's not even English and you know it. You know why you know it? Because you've heard it a lot. You've heard it and you've seen it, and it's now embedded in your brain. Even though you don't even know it because it's not English, you still kind of know it, right? Because of repetition. The same thing is true for songs. If there's songs that you haven't heard but you used to like love, and then you don't listen to them for like years and years, but then the first time you hear it after a long time, you're like, oh, I know this song. And it takes just like one time listening to it for it to remind you of what you had forgotten. That's because you'd learned it through repetition, and it can be partially forgotten, but it's a lot easier to remember something that you have learned through repetition. So repetition is super important, and there is power in repetition. Say it with me. There's power in repetition. There you go. The cool thing about the Bible is that you can take the Bible everywhere that you go if you have a smartphone, which most people have a smartphone, but through the Bible app. There is an app that has the entire Bible. There's actually many apps that have the Bible on it, but the one that we're talking about is like the most popular one. And the Bible app has so many awesome features that can help you be a better follower of Jesus, be more like Jesus by reading plans and all sorts of stuff, because reading the Bible can be difficult, and I'm totally aware of that. And so going through these reading plans can help you be a better Christian, be more like Jesus. And so to showcase some of these reading plans, I've attached the top six issues that face most adult Christians in their walk with Jesus. And I have attached with this, all of these are QR codes. So this is a rare instance in which you're going to be allowed to use your cell phone. So if you got a cell phone, I'm going to say pull it out, and you're going to pull open your camera. And I'm seeing like a lot of people not moving. And so what you're going to do is you're going to pull out your phone, you're going to go to your camera, and you're going to zoom in. And if any of these things stick out to you and you're like, I'd like to know a little more, I'm struggling a little with this, you're going to zoom in, and it's going to highlight the box with a little yellow box, and then at the bottom of your screen, it'll say like a little link. You click that, and it will give you a 7-day daily reading that can help you walk through this and see what the Bible says about these specific issues. And if you have an issue that's not listed up on here, if you have the Bible app, there are thousands, literally thousands of reading plans that can help you go through your issues, go through any of the problems, any of the things that you face in life. All of these are 7 days. All of the ones that I've selected are 7-day reading plans. And they take about 5 minutes to 10 minutes, tops, okay? You don't have to do them every day, although it's encouraged that you try to, you know, do it every day. They'll even send you a little reminder about like, hey, you should do this today. And it's really cool. But these, we want to equip you with tools, with the resources to be more like Jesus. And the only way that we're going to be more like Jesus is if we read what Jesus has said and we do what Jesus has told us to do. So, again, though, being a Christian and memorization is only a third of it. It's only a third of being a Christian. Remembering what God has said and learning what God has said is only a third of being a Christian. The first thing is being saved, believing in Jesus. The second thing is putting to memory what he said and then doing it. So let's talk about three ways that you can do what he has said for people who are here and attending this. So I'm sorry, Can of Cook, you guys don't like attend here on a regular basis, so you won't be here like next week. So anyways, bear with me. Baptism is one way that you can take a next step and put into action what God has said. Baptism is just simply this. If you don't know anything about baptism, once you believe in Jesus, the next step is to make that public. And we're not talking about Facebook, although you can do that, But we're talking about getting up on stage, getting in front of people, and we are saying, you're making a public statement that I am taking seriously my relationship with Jesus. And so what you do is you come up here, and you get baptized by somebody else. You don't have to have a pastor do it. It just has to be somebody who has been baptized, who's a believer, who's gotten baptized before. And you can get baptized. So if you're interested in getting baptized, this is the QR code that you can scan, and it will take you to a little sign up, and you can sign up to be baptized. You get to choose what day. It doesn't mean that you have to do the very next baptisms, which, by the way, we do baptisms the first Sunday of every month. So just because you fill this out does not mean you got to do it next month, but you get to choose what service, what day you want to do it on, as long as it's on the first Sunday of the month. So if baptism is something that you've not done, we want to encourage you to take that as your next step. And so this is the best way for you to move forward and take that step towards doing what God has said to do. Again, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So baptism is a great step. The next step is claim class. We have claim class, which takes place on the first Sunday of every month, just like baptism. It's a three-week class in which you will learn how to use your giftings, and you will find your identity in Jesus and use your giftings to put your faith into action. It is the definition of what we're talking about. When we say learning how to do what the Bible has said, this is like 101. This is the greatest place that you can start. And it's a three-week class, again, first of the month. If you're interested in signing up for this, you can scan this QR code. Same thing. You just take out your phone and scan it, and you can sign up. We recommend that everybody go through this at least one time. So if you're interested, sign up for Claim Class. You can also do all of this stuff that I'm saying through the hub. So if you're watching online, you can do it through the hub, because you can't scan a phone while on the phone. So anyways, so the last thing that we can do towards doing what God has said is we have this series coming up that's called At the Movies. And we have these really awesome invite cards. And they look like movie tickets. And we made these specifically so that you can invite your friends and your family. No, we're not actually showing the whole movies. Those movies that are on the back wall, those are the movies that we're talking about. We're not showing them in their entirety, but we will be showing clips from them to tell people about Jesus. So if you are interested in telling people about Jesus or having people come to know who Jesus is, which I really hope that you are, then you need to grab some of these as you leave. And they're going to be in both lobbies, so it doesn't matter which lobby you came in. There's a lot of them. So if you need a couple or you need a lot, you can ask for as many as you need, and you can hand them out to your friends or your family or your next-door neighbors. Just probably don't give them to people who, like, maybe really hate you, so, like, that way they would actually give it a chance. I'm talking, like, if you cut somebody off, don't give them these. Or, like, if you get pulled over by a police, don't give them these, you know. Those are the very few instances in which I would say don't give them this. But invite is a practical thing. You could do this. Baptism and claim class, that happens only at the first of the month, but this is something you could do right now. Like, you could take that, not right now, don't leave. But as soon as we get done, then you could take these and you could give them to people. And it's awesome. It's an easy way for you to start putting into action what God has said to do, which is to tell people about Jesus. So before we end, we're going to review things. And like we said, the best way for you to remember something is if there is action on your part. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the question and you are going to answer it. And even though it's a little bit cheating because you're going to have the answers already written up here, you're still going to say them because it involves action. You're more likely to remember it and do it. Okay? So the first question is, how are memories formed? Yeah, we got it. Okay. What makes something memorable? All right, and then lastly, is there a way to improve or use our memory to be more like Jesus? Yes. Yeah. There you go. All right, so again, another reminder, memory is only a third of what it means to be a Christian, and it's believing in Jesus, being saved by Jesus, putting to memory what he said, and then doing it. So we can do the things that he said through reading our Bibles, through those reading plans, through baptism, and through claim class, and then lastly, through inviting people to know who Jesus is. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Kent has some final words. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wildly complex minds that you've given us. Lord, help us to put to memory what you have said and what you've done. Help us to remember your faithfulness. Give us encouragement to share the word and to put into action our faith. Help us not to be afraid to move into the next steps and to be baptized or to start into a new class. Lord, give us confidence to do what you've said, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I found it humorous that Pastor Aaron thought that there was only one.